Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Steve Bloomfield. In this episode, how to choose a new United Nations Secretary General. Ban Ki-moon's second term as Secretary General of the United Nations, as underwhelming as his first, will peter out with little fanfare at the end of the year. The race to succeed him has begun in earnest, but exactly how will that person be selected? Well, as you would expect, since we're talking about the UN, it's a little vague, a touch opaque, and in no way whatsoever democratic.
The quality we need is...
The only mention in the UN Charter is that the decision will be made by the General Assembly on the recommendation of the Security Council. That, in essence, means the decision is made by the Security Council. And that, of course, means the decision is made by the five veto-wielding permanent members, the US, UK, France, Russia and China. So the winning candidate is someone deemed acceptable by all five, a common denominator so low that it can only lead inexorably towards the blandest and most pliable of candidates, the Ban Ki-moons of the diplomatic world, if you will. They want someone who won't rock the boat, who won't loudly criticise Israeli attacks on Gaza, or crackdowns in Tibet, or, say, invasions of Ukraine. Of course, sometimes the P5 makes mistakes. The softly spoken Kofi Annan seemed harmless enough, but he found his voice in the run-up to the war in Iraq angering the US.
The members of the Security Council now face a grim choice. If they fail to agree on a common position, and action is taken without the authority of the Security Council, the legitimacy and support for any such action will be seriously impaired.
There is also an unspoken rule that there should be some form of geographical rotation. There's never been a Secretary General from Eastern Europe, so many of the leading candidates this time around are from such heavyweight diplomatic nations as Moldova and Montenegro. I don't mean to disparage either Montenegro or Moldova, but a four-year stint as the foreign minister of a nation with a population of 3.5 million is hardly an impressive resume for such a big job. Even Ban Ki-moon could at least point to a long and distinguished diplomatic career with a G20 nation.
We Koreans have quite literally risen from the ashes of the war. We have done so through hard work, commitment, dedication, and the help of friends, and particularly the United Nations.
So unless something is done, the world's most important peacemaking body will be run by an unknown, untested, uninspiring bureaucrat. Which means, I suppose, we should be a little hopeful that something may actually be done. The General Assembly is finally starting to assert itself. It's asked member states to nominate candidates, something that hasn't officially happened before. It's also invited candidates to address the General Assembly and take questions. They happened this week, and they were actually quite interesting.
So one thing that, if elected, I would definitely try to do is make the decision-making processes and the reporting processes simpler, through that also more transparent, and through that also more accountable.
But the General Assembly should go further. It should demand that each candidate releases a manifesto. It should have official debates and hold them around the world. And it should tell the Security Council that it won't consider any candidate who hasn't gone through this process.
The structure today reflects the realities of 1945. The world has changed and the UN has to change. We have to adapt.
The world needs a strong United Nations, and that means it needs a strong UN Secretary General. More transparency, more democracy can only help. If we leave it to the permanent five, we'll end up with more of the same. That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.